You know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, at the end of the Gospels, the word with Jesus told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power on high. We find in Acts chapter 1, this is after the resurrection, and Jesus is walking with his disciples for approximately 40 days that he walked with them, giving them instructions on what was to come. So he said, but you shall receive power in Acts 1:8 after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So in Acts chapter 2, the church is being established. And the Lord took me here. We kind of spoke in this an area on this a couple Sundays and nights ago. And the Lord's been quickening my heart to bring this to the body of believers to recognize what's to take place when we gather in God's presence. What a move of God looks like. What church looks like. What should be taking place in the house of God when we gather. I don't believe God just wants us to gather on Sunday because that's what we do on Sundays. I believe that God wants us to come in with a heart of expectation, expecting God to do something. Amen? I know every time I come into the house of God, I'm expecting God to do something. And I'm not always expecting him to do what he did before. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So I'm looking for him to do something new every day. So in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Lord has given me a three-part message on this. And the next three, today and the couple weeks following, I'm going to speak out of these first four verses. But today I want to speak to you out of verse number 1. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. If you have a pencil or a pen, underline all in your Bible. All. They were all in one accord in one place. And one accord in accord in one accord comes from the Greek word hom authu madon. It's spelled H-O-M-O-T-H-Y-M-A-D-O-N, and it means one mind, one mind. In other words, they were gathered together with an expectation for something to take place. Singleness of mind, singleness of mind. The Word of God says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So as we gather together in unity in one accord, it's not a Honda. As we gather together in one accord, we're gathering with one mind in Christ Jesus. All of us are unified by Christ Jesus. The cross took away all of the division that was between us through the cross of Calvary. He paid for that price. So what the Lord wants to speak to our hearts today about is just having church. Can we just have church is the title. And there are seven things I want to share with you today out of the Acts chapter 2. First was the impartation. Second was the confrontation. Third was the illumination. Fourth is the exaltation. Fifth is the presentation. Sixth is the acceptation. And number seven is the continuation. This is what a move of God is to look like. God cared so much about the church that he established in Acts chapter 2 what the church is to look like, what it's to look like when we gather together in the house of God. So let's lift our word together, and we'll just see what the Lord wants to say to all of us by the preaching and teaching of his word. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration today in God's house? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do today. So, Father, I pray, Father God, as this word goes forth, it goes forth in love, it's spoken with clarity and with understanding, that each and every one that hears it may be benefited by it. And, Father God, I thank you for everyone that's gathered here, because we couldn't be here if it wasn't for them also. As our faith is joined together, we praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the first thing he spoke to me was about impartation. The Bible says in verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'm not going to speak about other tongues today, but what I want to start with is the impartation. 120 were gathered in the upper room, and everyone was imparted to of the Holy Ghost. Every last one. So what the Lord was saying to me as I was reading that, every time we gather together in the name of Jesus, that God wants to impart something to every last individual that's gathered in the room. That God does not want to leave anybody out. That he has a plan in every heart and every life. Amen. So when we look at impartation, we look at receiving something, I want to bring a little edification to that also. You know, I'm standing up here as the pastor, and I as a pastor, I'm called to be an under-shepherd, to help lead you, to help guide you, to help teach you. There's teachers. There's all kinds of gifts that are operating in the body that are gathered here today. Amen? And in other words, nothing could happen without you. Amen? So everybody's part is important. So as we gather together, everybody is bringing a measure with them. Everyone. Everyone has a measure of faith. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. I just want to get this point in the hearts and lives of everyone gathered here, how valuable it is for you to be here. Paul, one of the greatest apostles, wrote most of the New Testament in letters, tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse number 11. Healed already? Praise God. Amen. Verse number 11. Paul writes, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." Let me stop there a minute. Paul isn't the giver of nothing. Hello? Every good gift and every perfect gift, James 1:17, comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Paul was saying, hey, I'm a vessel, just like you're a vessel. Yeah, he's coming something. He's coming with a measure of faith. He says, unto you a spiritual gift to the end may be established. And then he explains it in verse 12. That is, in other words, he's explaining verse number 11. I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Amen. In other words, it's not just my faith, but it's your faith. But when our faith comes together, all of a sudden things can be changed. All of a sudden, the manifestation of God shows up. Paul says, I'm coming to you, not just because I've got something, but you've got something too. And as we gather together, we're joining our faith together. So every time you come into the house of God, you bring a measure of faith with you. And I don't care if it's this much or this much, everybody has a measure. Amen? Everybody. And then as we're gathered here, Paul says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we're speaking forth the word of God, we're believing that our faith is going to increase together. In other words, every last one of us will have something imparted to us when we gather together in the name of Jesus. In other words, we should walk out of this place edified, built up, encouraged, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of God's word. Amen. In other words, and then that time, and then that lie that the adversary says, well, I don't have anything to bring. Well, he's a liar because you have a measure of faith. Amen. Everybody has a measure of faith. Amen. And as your faith, and as our faith grows and comes together, what Paul would say is this. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24. He says, not for that we have dominion over your faith. In other words, I'm not standing up here to have dominion over your faith. But are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. You know, we're here to encourage you. We're here to walk beside you. Amen. We're not here to take dominion over nobody. Amen. We're here to take dominion over the unfruitful works of darkness is what we're to take dominion over. And sometimes people think, well, I don't want nobody. We're not here to control no one. Amen. We're here to encourage you in the Lord. Amen. And God wants you to know when you gather together in his house, God wants to give you something today. Amen. He wants to give you something today. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like in your life today, God wants to give you something today. He wants to impart something into your heart and life. He doesn't want anyone walking out of this house the same way that they came through the door. Maybe yet? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, what God wants to get into our hearts today is every time we come together and gather together in the name of Jesus, that we bring something and we get something. Every Sunday morning, I'll tell you what, the adversary will put everything out there to keep you from being in the house of God. Because he knows you're carrying something. He knows that each and every one of us are carrying something. And that each and every one of us are going to receive something. Amen. See, I think that's when, if one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000, what could we do if we get a hold of what God is saying about our mutual faith being joined together? Amen. He says that two agree in touching anything. Amen. And I look at that and say, hey, man, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him and us. Amen, amen, amen. That's why he calls us a body, amen. He calls us a body of believers. He said the first thing that you'll be faced with is you'll be faced with some confrontation. You know, when they all were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues, in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt and saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And when I was looking at this, is as children of God and as his children, we are going to be confronted with things. We are going to be confronted with doubters. You know, I believe it was a father who had a son that was possessed. And his father says, I believe. And he says, help my unbelief. In other words, he was saying, I had some faith, but I didn't have quite enough. And in the midst of a move of God and in the midst of a service, you're going to have some that'll doubt. You know, I feel sorry for one of the disciples, for poor old Thomas. He got the title Doubting Thomas. Remember that story where Jesus had risen from the dead and he appeared with his disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said, man, unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. The Bible says 8 days later, Jesus appeared again and said, Thomas, my hands and my side. And Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and still believe. In other words, when you're walking with Jesus and you're transformed and you're changing your life, you're going to come across some doubters. You're going to be faced with some critics. Hello? You're going to be faced with some mockers that are going to make fun of you for serving Jesus. Amen? You know, even in the midst of the day of Pentecost, they were faced with that. That was the first thing that took place. But what did Peter do? He took them right to the Word. He brought illumination. He took them to the Word. In verse number 16, he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Amen? You know, in other words, what Peter did is he illuminated the Word. He took them right to the Word of God. He took them back to where they were familiar with. He took them back to the prophet Joel in Joel 2, 28 and 29. And he says, "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." I want you to understand that every last one in the house can prophesy. This isn't speaking about a prophet. Every last one, if you're born of God, you've got the Spirit of God in you, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you can speak under the inspiration of God. Amen. So in other words, what Peter did in the midst of confrontation, in the midst of doubters, in the midst of critics, what he did is he illuminated God's Word. He took them right back to the written Word of God. Amen. In other words, I'm not going to beat you up with the Bible, but I assure you the Holy Spirit led Peter. He's just baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm sure the Holy Spirit led Peter where to go. You know, and I believe in our lives, in our hearts and lives, and Peter is speaking in love. He's not going to condemn them. He's just going to illuminate the Word. He's going to enlighten them. Hey, this is what's taking place. This was prophesied by the prophet Joel, and it's taking place in the house. So when signs and wonders and miracles and people speaking in other tongues and people being moved in the Spirit takes place in the house of God, don't get critical. Don't be a doubter. Just say, "Whatever, Lord, let God, you be glorified." God will do everything decently in order. Amen? In other words, he gave us the Gospels. He gave us the first and First Corinthians. Paul wrote to the church to help it to be edified and to be things to be done decently in order, because God's a God of order. But I think it's time for just us to let go and let God. Amen. You know, why don't we just let him have his way? Amen? 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 How many would really love to see revival in the move of God? Amen. What it's going to be is less of me and more of him, right? Lord, just have your way in this house. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 32, the Word of God says, But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated endured a great fight of afflictions. You know, we talked about it this morning in our early meeting that, you know, the Lord said, the Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And sometimes when we're going through, we're faced with adversity, we're faced with confrontation, sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to confront us with some things. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit reveals something, every time the Holy Spirit talks to me, he doesn't talk to me about change that you need to do. He speaks to me about change that I need to do. So every time I'm spending time with the Lord and I'm in prayer, it comes back to me. He puts a mirror in front of me. He says, "Examine yourself." So as this word is going forth, let me tell you something. It's accomplishing something. Every time the word is spoken, it's accomplishing something. You see, Peter is illuminating them on the word. Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, and I want to speak here just for a second. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. You know, when I was looking at this, you know, when we have been given the good gift of the Holy Ghost and we've tasted the good word of God, you know, there ain't no turning back. There ain't no going back. There's nothing back. We already know there's nothing back there. Amen. So when you look at it, you've tasted the thing. That's why he's saying, man, some of these people that turn back, it's a shame. It's a shame. Let's not be abusers of God's grace. God loves us. God has a plan in every heart and life in the room. He's got a plan in your life. He wants you to grow. If we're going to become the image of Jesus Christ, that means I've got to be changed. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we may prove what is a good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So as we're walking with the Lord and we're being illuminated by God's word, I'm no one's judge. God didn't call me to judge no one. You know, I live in a glass house. I'm not throwing any rocks. Amen. But as we illuminate God's word and we're children of God and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you've tasted the good word of God, you know that there's nothing behind you but everything's in front of you. Amen. There's nothing to go back to. He talks about returning a dog returning to his vomit or a sow returning to the mire. There's nothing back there. You know, when God delivered me from addiction and set me free from my cocaine addiction, and maybe there is nothing back there. Amen. I God shut that door and I ain't going to open it back up. Amen. I'm moving forward. We sing some of these songs we sing. It just reminds me of God's great mercy and love that he showed to every one of us. Amen. That God has been good to everybody. Amen. Everybody in the room, God's been good to you. No matter what you're going through in your life, somebody else is going through something worse than you are. You have it a lot better than someone else does. Amen. And we know that God is faithful. Amen. He ain't going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's always going to be there. He doesn't say we're not going to go through trouble, but we don't have to go through the trouble alone. Amen. Hello? Amen. Man, I get comfort in that. I get comfort in knowing that I tried to do so many things on my own strength and my own power before, and it was so difficult, it was so hard. And then when I learned to
leaning, lean safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand what the song says? It said, man, I'm leaning, I'm trusting on him. I'm safe and secure from all harm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise God. So we find that every time we gather together in the house of God, what does church look like? What does the move of God looks like? There's always impartation. You're going to have confrontation. There's illumination. And as he illuminated the word, what did he do? There was exaltation. He lifted the name of Jesus. He lifted the name of Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me.
Amen.
You don't know, lift Jesus higher.
Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men, I will draw all men, I will draw all men unto me.
Hallelujah. So every time we gather the house of God, and every time there's a move of God, there's going to be an impartation for everyone. We're going to be confronted with some things. There's going to be illumination. But in the midst of that, there's exaltation. We're gathered together to lift the name of Jesus. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. So he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you, unto me. Amen. Unto him. So as we gather together in the name of Jesus, we're here to exalt the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says, no one comes to the Father but by the Son. And no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. So as we're gathered together, we want to draw nigh. We want to get nearer. He says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart, ye double-minded. In other words, he's drawing us back to him through his word. Where you got a song? What did you say? All right, got another song. Here we go.
Blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Hallelujah. Yeah, just in case y'all know, we're a team. Barbara Judy helped me preach the word. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So what is he saying to you and I? What's the move of God look like? What does church look like? We have the impartation. We're going to have the confrontation. We're going to have the illumination. We're going to have the exaltation. And once we exalt the name of Jesus, then we can give the presentation. The presentation. We can present the gospel. And Acts chapter 2. Get there. Hallelujah. Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In other words, this is the presentation. This is the gospel. Repent. What does repent mean? You got to change your mind. You got to change your direction. For me, metanoia, neo. And we said, for me to know you, to so that we would memorize that. For me to know you, I got to change my mind. For me to know you, I was going down life's highway, and then I turned around and I began to follow you. Amen. Repentance is not just asking forgiveness for my sins, but turning from them. Hello? In other words, I can't just continually, blatantly live in sin and expect forgiveness. Hello? What I'm going to do is when the Holy Spirit reveals something to me, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. You know what repentance also means? Feeling sorry about your sin. See, we have a thing we try to do so many times. We try to justify ourselves. you know? And we're not to justify ourselves. Turn, you know? I don't want to get, I'm not one of them hell and fire brimstone preachers that say turn or burn, but truthfully it's turn or burn, you know? In other words, we need to change our mind. We need to change our direction. If it's no longer I that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me, I'm following him. What did Jesus say to his disciples? They were doing something, and he said, lay down what you're doing. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. In other words, there's a change. There's repentance. And then he says, being baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And if you haven't been baptized in water, it's not an option. It's a command of God. The baptism isn't what saves you. The baptism is a public testimony of what took place on the inside. We go down in the water. We're being buried like we're buried in a grave. And we come up as a new creation in Christ Jesus, where old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So he has that. He says, first, repent, change your mind. Two, remission, for the remission of sins. He'll remove your sin. In other words, if you repent and you change your direction, it ain't in your closet anymore. It's gone. And then you'll receive. You'll receive what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take residence within you. So, you know, so many times we introduce people to grace before we introduce them to repentance. But the Bible says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So God wants to give it to each and every one of us. So when we gather together, for a move of God in the house of God, amen? We have the impartation, we have the confrontation, we have the illumination, we have the exaltation, we have the presentation. Then there's got to be the acceptation. In other words, I could stand up here and preach till I'm blue, but unless you receive the word, amen? In other words, the Bible says his word will never return unto him void. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do. So there's something that's taking place in the air that we're in right now. In the atmosphere we're in, there's something that's taking place. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like there is. Well, I don't think it's always about your feeling. Most of the time, it's our feelings that got us in trouble to begin with. Amen. In other words, the Bible says my faith isn't about my feelings. My faith is about the Word of God and what God says. If God says it, I believe it. Do I always see it? No. Do I always sense it? No. Do I always touch? Do I feel it? No. I just believe it. I believe it because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe it, the Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as I'm standing together and we're giving the presentation of the gospel, the Bible says in verse 41, then they that gladly received the word, gladly received his word, were baptized in the same day, was added unto them about 3,000 souls. In other words, the word, the presentation went forth and they accepted it. They received it as coming from the word, from coming from the Lord. And as we're gathered together, our faith will not increase unless we believe the word is from the Lord. I'm not saying that anything about me. I'm saying I'm just the vessel, but it's God's word. It's not my word, it's his word. And God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. God said it. And always asking you and I to, by faith, believe. By faith, believe. That's why Paul could write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 11. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but it is as truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Amen. In other words, we're receiving this, our faith. We're coming together with mutual faith. Everyone has a measure. And as we're gathered together in the house of God, we're expecting God to increase our faith. So when our faith is increased, then it has an effect. The effectual working. In other words, it's not just here. We're not just speaking for the sake of speaking, because this is what we do on Sunday morning. We're speaking the word of God so each and every one of us will take a hold of God's word, apply it to our hearts and lives, and allow our faith to increase so that when we go out, that we can reach a lost and dying world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, in other words, what's taking place is our faith is being increased because God cares for a dying world. Amen? And there's not one that he does not love, and there's not one that he doesn't have a plan for. So you and I need to go out with the love of God. You know, when we're looking at what's taking place, when they were illuminated by God's word and they were exalted in the name of Jesus and they were given the presentation of the gospel, and presentation of the word. In other words, fruit of the Spirit needs to be evident in our lives, church. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, love. If you love someone, what do you act like? Joy. Peace. Long-suffering, kindness. Gentleness, meekness, temperance in our faith. Those fruits that are evident in our heart and life, none of them are anything without love. All, you know, when God was teaching through Paul, the church of Corinth, and the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of operation in the body of Christ, he connected chapter 13 with 12 and 14. The love chapter. Because without love, everything's just noisy. It's just a bunch of clanging. You know? In other words, we're to love one another. That doesn't mean we need to understand everyone. That doesn't mean that we always have to agree with everyone. But the Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? In other words, as you and I, as children of God, we're to operate in love. And such love,
such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this?
You see, that love of God, he loved you and I just where we were. He loved us so much, he wasn't going to leave us there. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And I thank God. I thank God. And I'll say it again, and I've said it 100 times. I'll probably say it 1,000. I might even say it 1,000,000. I don't know. But our sanctification is a process that takes our lifetime. You know, we're being transformed into the image of Jesus. But those that were gathered together, they accepted the word. They accepted the word. What will you do with what you hear today? Will you receive it as from the Lord? Or will you look and say, well, we'll try to doubt it, or we'll try to criticize it, or we'll try to look at it. Amen? In other words, when I stand up here, I'm not a man eloquent of speech like the Apostle Paul, like Paul said about Apollos. You know, I might be a little plain. I might be a little black and white and simplistic. But God wants you to have understanding. God wants you to know that every time that we gather together in the name of Jesus, he wants to give us something. He wants you to know that you're not only getting something, but you're bringing something. He wants you to know that you're going to be faced with things. You're going to be faced with things that are going to try to steal what God imparts into your life. Amen. Now Peter, he could have got angry. He could have brought some condemnation on those mockers and those doubters. But what did he do? In love, he illuminated the word of God. Amen. He exalted the name of Jesus. He presented to them the gospel. Then they that gladly received it were baptized and were added to the church 3,000 in one day. And it didn't stop there. There was the continuation. Verse number 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the continuation. It just didn't start there. It just started at their salvation, but he says continue in it. Amen. In other words, when we gather together, we're continuing to learn. We have classes on Sunday night. We have classes on Wednesday night. We have discipleship class on Sunday night to help you grow if you're a new believer. We have a priorities class on Sunday night to get godly priorities in our lives. We have the youth that are meeting. We have children's ministry that's meeting. We have Royal Rangers on Wednesday night for Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, Christian Boy Scouts. We have teaching on ministries of health. We have children's ministry on Wednesday night. Everything we do is to help us grow and be perfected in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. But he said that we're to continue. You know, the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So what is God saying to you and I in closing today? First, he's just saying, hey, can we just have church? God laid it out for us in the book of Acts. He laid it out that when we gather together, that God wants to impart something to each and every one of us. That in the midst of impartation, that you're going to be faced with confrontation. In other words, we're going to be faced with some mockers and some doubters, but that's okay. Jesus was faced with the same. But in the midst of that, we're to illuminate the Word of God. We're to exalt the name of Jesus. We're to present the gospel. And what they receive, if they accept it, amen, they'll be baptized and added to the church. And then we're to continue to break bread and fellowship. In other words, we're to fellowship with one another. We're a body. It's just not about Sunday morning. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a relationship with someone, it takes some time. And you only get out what you put in. Little in, little out. You know, that the Word of God says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So as a body of believers, what does God want to do? God wants to move every time we gather together. Man, I can just imagine. I like that song, I Can Only Imagine. You don't have to imagine. The Holy Spirit will reveal what it would be like. He says this, the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolish to them because they're spiritually discerned. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. God will show you those things. I've seen God show me so many things. I've seen God come into this house, and I've seen God, everybody that was slain in the Spirit. And I don't know how long everybody was laying around, but the presence of God came on in the room, and there wasn't anybody that could stand in his presence. He showed it to me in a vision, and I know it's going to come to pass. He showed me in a vision. I saw people coming from nations from all around the world. I believe it because he showed it to me. He showed it to me in a vision. He says, you young men shall see visions. Man, I'm a young man. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants you to know in vision, if you look outwardly, you can get a hold of something, it will inspire you to do something. If you get it inside of you, it becomes inspiration. It will inspire you. And a vision that keeps your eyes up becomes faith. Amen. Because God would never show you something in a vision that you couldn't accomplish on your own. If you could accomplish it on your own, you wouldn't need God. And there's none of us can do it on our own. None of these battles, none of these things that we're going through in life can we do on our own. We need our helper. We need our friend. We need him. You know, we need him. I don't just don't serve because I want to. I serve because I need him. I've tried to do it on my own and I couldn't do it. I failed time and time and time again. But when I trusted and relied on him, God wants to move in our hearts and lives. Somewhere along the line, church, we just have to say, Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. Not my will, but your will be done. Not mine, Lord, but your will be done. And when we get to that place, we'll just release it to him. Come on. There's things in my life that there's nothing I could do to change them. But trust him. There is nothing I can do to change it but to trust him. So I'm going to trust him with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge him. And he's going to direct my path. He didn't bring you this far to let you down. He didn't bring you this far to drop you along the road. He said he would carry you through, and he'll see you through. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. In other words, get a hold of the light that's shining at the end of the tunnel. If you're going through a dark time in your life, get your eyes on the light that's at the end of that tunnel and start walking towards your answer instead of feeding the problem. See, if you're in a cave and you're a dark place in your life and you just keep looking around, you'll stay in there. But somewhere in the midst of the cave, there's a light that's shining. God is showing you there's a way. There's an answer. There's an answer right before your face, and just start walking towards it. Amen. And you might not see everything on the way. You might trip over a couple things along the way, but you just start walking towards the light. He is the light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So in the midst of this, and in the midst of your valley, don't get your eyes on the darkness and think that's God, because there's no darkness in him at all. Recognize the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I'm just saying, Lord, not my way, but your way be done. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And Lord, I'm grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it.